Isaiah says to us, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful." When we hear the word call, it's like to call out. It's to cry out. It's akin to the passage on Palm Sunday when the Pharisees, they told Jesus to stop the children from shouting praise. And Jesus replied, "If I did, the very stones would cry out." It's a powerful thing to cry out. It's a cry of wonder. It's a cry of the miraculous. It is the cry of God to our world, a hurting world. And what are they crying for? At this time of year, particularly this past week and the weeks ahead, you just might see on TV a movie that had Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed in it. Any guesses what movie that would be? It's a Wonderful Life. It's amazing the staying power of that movie. There's a part in it that speaks to the wonderful and to the counselor. George Bailey, who is in trouble because he lost the payment and the head banker has it, and he's hidden it, and it's unkind, and he's lived a good life most of his life, and he's overcome by this, and he wishes that he had not been born. But at a key point in time, he cries out, "Dear Father in heaven, I'm not a praying man, but if you're up there and you can hear me," he begins to cry. "And if you can hear me, show me the way. Show me the way." It was a cry for God to enter into his world. And in that is the wonderful, miraculous power of God. He will be called. He will call out to us who call out. He will be called Wonderful. And we begin to sense to whom we call out. Throughout my life, I've called out to God in different ways. Some pretty lacking in piety. But always some sense of God as I called out. And he'll be called Wonderful. To call out is like for AA, it's to realize that there is a higher power. And you call for that higher power to be the power that gets you through what you're facing. It's to behold the wonder of it all. Einstein had a quote. He said, "He who can no longer pause to wonder is as good as dead." Madeleine Engel, she said, "I share Einstein's affirmation that anyone who is not lost on the rapturous awe at the power and glory of the mind behind the universe is as good as a burnt-out candle." well with wonder is to realize that God not only created all things, but he is here and he is listening. It's not simply just to say the words, but it assumes the assumption that someone is listening. The famous musical composer Johann Sebastian Bach, he began all of his music with the letters S-D-G. Tim, what does that stand for? Okay. And he ended all of it. Oh, no, no. He ended it with that, and he began it with J-J. What's that? We didn't know I was going to quiz him. Jesu Juva, which means Jesus help me. So it begins with the call for Jesus to help me, and he responds to God be the glory. In the call for help is the realization of the wonder that God might actually help us. And in fact, as we go further, to realize that God wants to help us and that God loves us. The Shorter Catechism, of course, the chief end of a person is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. I was looking at some of the ways that this happens in Scripture. How many of you have ever been in the military of any form? Raise your hand. Okay. Dave Smith, he was an officer. I've just called up the National Guard here. And I want you to respond to his command. All right. Part of the reason I did that, if you look at the passage from John 3, what goes down is it begins with, behold. You get that in the King James, you get that in the Geneva Bible, essentially by Calvin. And in the modern translations, they've decided that that's sort of a tired phrase. So they don't want to do behold. But behold means, okay, what does it mean? Attention. Every bit as much as if a commanding general had come and said attention. I had a fellow once in the military that was really bothering me. And I was trying to think what I could do to get this guy off my back. So eventually I just shouted at him, attention. And he stood up straight and got off my back. Rank does help. Now God in his all power, when it says behold, he's saying attention. The purpose of attention is not simply to stand tall, but to be prepared for action. They have to know that if they need your attention, they get it. When God says behold, he is saying attention. And when we do that, we get a sense of the wonder of it all. In Genesis 1:31, in the King James, it says, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Attention. It is very good. It's kind of, did any of you ever play the game Clue? How many of you play the game Clue? Must be a popular game. The strategy behind the game is there's been a murder. And you have to read the clues till you can say who did it. I think I shared with you, and just to be egotistical for a moment, when I was in the Army, the chaplain said, we were all over his house for Christmas meal. He said, we're going to play Clue. And he said, and Blagapier should win because he's the intelligence agent. And the chaplain was really good at this game, and he was going to show me that he was too. I won 3 games in a row, and he never played it with me again. But I had practiced focusing my attention upon the clues. And I did it much of my day. It's sort of like an intelligence analyst. It was Army intelligence, which used to say the grand contradiction in terms. But it was that focus. It is that clue. But what it is, it's a clue. What were the clues focused on? Any of you that have done a mystery, what's the term they say? What are you trying to discover? Who did it? Who done it? Yeah, so who did it? Who done it? And the clues is who did what's around us. Who created all of creation as you look out those windows, especially when you get bored, and you see nature. Who done it? The God of all creation did it or done it for you. So it's clues us to understand God did it. And God continues to do it for you. And behold, attention, Matthew says, behold, a virgin shall be with a child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Clue. First clue, he created everything. Second clue, Emmanuel, God is with us. You understand the wonder of that, that God is with you? You understand the wonder of that, that he's with you whether you deserve it or not? And he waits for you to seek him so he can find you. Goes on to the passage in John. Behold, attention, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Now, some modern translations want to say that we should be called the children of God. You could make a strong case that we should be called the heirs of God. But y'all, in the context of the culture, are the heirs of God. It's not like sons and daughters. You are all inheritors. You are all in equal priority before God. You are the children of God. You are the children of the King. And so there's awesome authority. And what kind of love makes this happen? It's just so wondrous. Again, it says that, beloved, just in case you didn't catch it the first time, you're loved, beloved. Now we are the heirs of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that we shall appear and we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. We live in a world filled with clues. Clues of wonder, of majesty, of creation, of grace, amazing grace that loves us when we know we shouldn't be loved. It's kind of interesting. I was reading about this, behold, the children of God, the heirs of God. two different circumstances, I read of two different translators who were working with a new Christian. And the translator was learning the language from the new Christian, and the translator was trying to teach scripture and meaning. And from a culture that was very class-orientated, the new Christian said, oh, it can't be sons or inheritors of God. It must be subjects of God. That we're privileged to be citizens of God. No, we're not privileged to be citizens. We are privileged to be citizens of God. But we have the wonder of being the children of God, the heirs of God. In another culture, the same dynamic happened. And the new Christian said, can't we change this? That in wonder, that in the beholding of this love, that God permits us to kiss his feet. Now that sounds funny in our culture, but if the Lord was here and we could kiss his feet, if he said, line up, I'd try to be the first in line. I would want to kneel down and kiss his feet. I had a friend who was in, I think it was Russia or East Germany during the Cold War when the Iron Curtain was down. He went down a street and there was like a crucifix of Jesus. And it hadn't been maintained. But he noticed looking at the bottom of the crucifix, it was all shiny. Couldn't figure it out. And the people under persecution were doing something. And when he was about to leave and he was across the street, he looked. And when none of the secret police or whatnot could be the Stasi, he saw a woman come to this crucifix of Jesus and bow down and kiss the feet of Jesus. Because in the midst of oppression, the people in darkness saw a great light. A light that was more than a clue. It was like a light shining on where the focus should be. And it was this wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Throughout my life, I've taken side turns.